Okay. Everybody should have a handout. If you don't, raise your hand, and somebody will have an extra one. Thank you. Can we get one, two? Yep, get one, two. Good. Thank you so much. Anybody else need one? Everybody else need one? Okay, good. Thank you. So as Mike mentioned, one of the things we're doing is in Proverbs, because it is a potpourri of sayings, starting with chapter 10. You can pull different threads and develop themes in Proverbs, and we'll actually be doing that a little bit later in this series. But it's better sometimes to just take them as they come, because as we said last week, it's a little bit like a child that gets to spend a day with a parent, maybe going to work or at home or whatever, and the child asks, how many questions a day? Does anybody remember?
Under 300.
288. That's right. 288 questions. And Carolyn Jemison, is Carolyn here?
Yeah.
Carolyn, how many questions did you field over the career as a...
22 million.
22 million.
Your calculations are right.
Yeah. So 22 million questions for a kindergarten teacher in a career. So, yeah.
24 million.
Plus the ones that Russ had to ask her all these years. So we could kind of take Proverbs as they come, just as a series of answers to questions. And if you look at Proverbs that way, it really is a more comfortable way of reading it than reading it like we would. Sometimes we try to read Proverbs like it's a systematic theology book, and it's really whatever the opposite of that is, that's what it is. And it's to just relax and just take him as they come, just kind of like a buffet, just nibble, just graze, enjoy. And as you do, every once in a while, you run into one that's kind of like, wow, kind of hits you. And that's what we'd like to ask you to do. We're going to stay in chapter 10 for next week, and then the following week we'll move into chapter 11. So if you haven't already done so, between now and next week, just graze through chapter 10 and see what kind of jumps up and pops up and speaks to you a little bit. Has anybody got a verse from chapter 10? Good. Thank you, Tammy. Good. What do you... Good.
So, verse 12, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses.
Okay. Let's all look at chapter 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Let me just pull up... Proverbs 10, verse 12. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses. How does that speak to you, Tammy?
So, over the last 4 years, I have had situations where I've had an ex-husband say lies about me that people have believed. I've had strained family relationships that I've tried really hard to reconcile. And over the course of time, the Lord has showed me to teach me where my lines were, what responsibilities were, and how to leave others the rest of it. One of my tendencies is to take responsibility for everything. And so to learn and grow in knowing where my responsibility ends and where other people's begins, and then to rest in the undone work.
Thank you.
That I can't control.
Thank you.
And so recently, and the peace has come, and to love and to pray and to just not have hate or resentment build up in my heart, but just to learn over and over again to leave it at the cross. And then the peace has come, and you know, days and months go by where I don't even think about these things. And then over the course of the last few weeks or month or so, I have had sort of sideways apologies. I've heard acknowledgement that people were deceived by people about me, and I don't need apologies anymore. I'm not necessarily getting them, but just the gift of God to give that to me, even though now I'm not seeking it, and my worth and my value isn't dependent on that. When I read this first, I thought, wow, you know, at being on the other end of that, it's just so true to not keep that strife going in my heart, to not allow that to happen, and to pray against it. And then with the love that I gave from afar, try to, those offenses just seem to be melting away, at least from that end that was undone before. So it just really spoke to me.
Thank you so much. I don't know if everybody heard all of that, but it was a wonderful explanation of how sometimes in life we get attacked. And sometimes we get complimented, and how part of maturing as a Christian. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. So if I go off from what you were saying, let me know. But part of maturing as a Christian is resting in Christ and resting peacefully in Christ and resting in the gospel. Sometimes we go through life and we have a tendency. It's almost like there's a ledger, and we get good stuff that people say to us and talk about us and compliment us, and then we get bad stuff, you know, and as we go through life, we kind of carry our little ledger with us. You know, I got the good, I got the bad going on and everything else. And really, what Tammy is wanting to point out from this verse, hatred stirs up strife. Hatred drops a lot on the negative side. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses to the point where you pretty much take your ledger and you just rip it up. It doesn't make a difference. If you are in Christ, what difference does any of it make? Really? Is that okay, Tammy?
It's perfect.
Okay. I mean, it's what, and that's kind of what, thank you so much. That's kind of what Proverbs wants to do. The book of Proverbs, it's personal. That's the other thing about reading Proverbs. Proverbs is not text. When we get a little further, and many of you, if not all of you, or most of you, have read through the first nine chapters of Proverbs, and we get wisdom personified, even as a woman. And as we go through this, we're going to see that there's a larger sense of the personification of wisdom as Christ. But it's a blessing to have wisdom personified in the book of Proverbs as a woman, because that rounds out Proverbs as an expression of God, as a personal God, as one who has a heart and who cares. There's a real wholeness to the sense of wisdom being personified by understanding Christ and understanding God. And so it's important as we read Proverbs to think of Proverbs not as text, not as something on paper being spoken to us, but as God's love being interacting with us, and that just really comes up great. Thank you. For next week, if you haven't picked one out, please do what Tammy did and read through Proverbs and see if just something speaks to you, and we'll camp out a little bit on it, because that's the fun part of Proverbs. One of the things about wisdom that we're getting from Proverbs is that wisdom, what it does is it does give you a greater sense of God's peace. And when you get God's peace, you taste God's joy. And so peace and joy go together. So let the wisdom speak to us and share that with us, and we can rest in God's peace, and we'll experience God's joy as a byproduct of that. So please do that. There's so many little assignments going on in this class. You got to read chapter 10, pick something out. Also, the memory verses, the recommended memory verses, which are at your handout. There's a whole list of them there. And I said, well, I thought Mike did the memory. Well, we're doing a kind of a memory verse that it's kind of there's no accountability. We just like you to try to memorize a verse through the month. But what we really like to do is to hide and store and treasure God's word in your heart. And if you look at Psalm 119:11, which is God's word is hidden in the NIV, it's hidden in the King James, it's hid in NASB and ESV. We see treasured, we see stored. And how do you store God's word in your heart? It really you memorize God's word. And there's so many brothers and sisters, so many who are here, and pastors we've known, and other leaders who just speak Bible, they just like talk Bible, One time, Nancy and I were visiting a church that our son thought he might be going to when he moved to a new town, and the youth pastor, or the youth intern, I guess, was attending college, and I asked him, "Well, what college are you going?" And he named it. It was a Bible college. I said, "Oh, that's good." And I said, "What's your major?" Bible. This is in the South. Okay, this is in the South. Bible. Well, that's good. So what do you? I mean, of all the different courses, what kind of courses do you take? Bible. That's great. What's the degree that you get? Because I don't come from an evangelical background, so this, a lot of stuff is new to me. You know, so what's the degree that you get? Bible. And I thought, well, that's really great, you know. And I thought, you know, we all need a degree in Bible. We all need to camp out, to study, to nurture. And the verse that Mike points us to, the wise of heart will receive commandments. There's a humility that is required in order to learn anything. Have you ever known anybody who doesn't have that humility and they already know everything? There's no really need for them to learn anything. How many have known that person? Yeah. How many of you were that person when you were a teenager? and older. Yeah. How many still are? And that's what that verse is saying. It talks about the wise of heart as opposed to one who is wise in their own eyes. And notice that we've kind of gone south. We started with the eyes, wise in their own eyes, and we moved down to the heart. And actually, wise in their own eyes, we've seen that. It's actually in Proverbs. It's in chapter, I think it's Proverbs 3:7, wise in their own eyes. It's mentioned all through the Bible. Who is wise in their own eyes. They see themselves as wise. I don't know if I mentioned this, but there's a series of books based on the original novel, The Wind in the Willows, and it involves Mr. Toad. And Mr. Toad is a character in these books. They're great books, great literature. And Mr. Toad is wise in his own eyes. In fact, he built a statue of himself. And he's holding his hands up. And he says, "I'm as clever as I think I am. I'm as brilliant as I seem." That was the plaque on the... So the next time you find somebody who's wise in their own, just remember that. They're as clever as they think they are, and they're as wise as they seem, or as brilliant as they seem. That is the verse that we're talking about. So what we're really doing in Proverbs is one of the other things before I get going too far into the lesson is I just want to mention how thrilled I am to have such a large group, and especially to have so many younger folks here today. And you know, we're just so delighted, and we're blessed by your being here. And I just need to ask you, though, if you're under 30 and you haven't come up and said hello to me and introduced yourself, please do, either after this or before or anytime you see me or whatever. That's really important to me. It's so important to me that I'm going to make this threat. Okay, here's my threat: if one young person, that means under 30, okay, doesn't come up and talk to me before class or after class, the previous one, then I'm going to retaliate by telling dad jokes. Okay.
Oh, he can do it.
You know, and some of them are cliches, but I avoid cliches like the plague. I try to speak good grammar. I mean, after all, double negatives are a no-no. See? So if you want this to stop, you have it in your control. It's in your hands. Okay. All right. We're going to start this. Actually, today's the first lesson. The other two lessons were really just the introduction to the introduction. Today is lesson one, and it'll go for 2 weeks. A lot of times these lessons, there's enough there. So again, either take your handout with you or don't. Either way, if you take it with you, please bring it back. If you don't, we'll collect them and pass them out again next week. No big deal. I kind of like to have you take him with you so you can look at those memory verses and start working on memory verses, but it's up to you. So we're going to start with today what wisdom isn't and what Proverbs isn't, okay? And so let's start by, if you could turn to Proverbs 1, and I'm just going to, I'll just read through the first 7 verses. It's impossible to deal with the first 6 verses without working through the basically the thesis sentence of the whole book. And so we'll read 1 through 7, 7 being the thesis sentence of the whole book, or the thesis of the whole book. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And here it is, the thesis. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so we're going to really kind of focus on verses 1 and 2, primarily 2, in light of verse 7. And it may seem like, well, you're spending an awful lot of time. Well, the first 7 verses, or the first 9 verses of Proverbs, if we spent a month and a half on them, we would be using our time well, especially if we sort of circle back and pick up verses from 10 and 11 and 12 and so on. So I'm not going to be in any hurry to unpack verses basically 2 through 7 or 2 through 9. So let's just look at the first 2 verses today in particular. So the Proverbs. Now the word Proverbs is used very often it's Hebrew, so it's used in the Old Testament, but it's used in so many different ways. It's a very large word. When we hear the word proverb, we think of what would technically in literature be called an aphorism. An aphorism is a short saying, a short pithy saying. That's what we think of when we say a proverb. But in the Bible, the word proverb is really larger than that, and so it includes notions. It's used sometimes to mean a parable. It's used sometimes to mean sayings. And when we refer to sayings, we have to pay close attention, because sayings means that's what they say. You know how you say, well, they say. Well, that's what a saying is. Well, is everything they say wise? Of course not, or not even true. They say, who's they? Well, whoever it is that says. So the word proverb includes saying, so we got to be very, very careful about it. It also includes notions of ethics and ethical maxims, and so it points to right and wrong, even if it's not all that pithy. It might just be something real, real simple, like don't co-sign a note, you know, or something like that. So the word proverb, as we see it, it's mashal in Hebrew, not that that makes any difference, but just remember that that word is very, very widely used, but we're going to see how it's used most often in the book of Proverbs. And then to know, we already talked about that. What's the word for know? What's the word for knowledge from last week? They said something, and then this happened, and then yada, yada, yada. Yada. And then we finish up, okay? So the word knowledge is also a very wide word. But it's just because it's to know. I mean, it's real simple word, doesn't have a lot of hidden nuances to it. And then the word wisdom. Wisdom, we're going to learn what wisdom really is through the process. I already talked a little bit about wisdom being personal. It's personified. But the word wisdom has a lot of different uses and a lot of different meanings. Largely, it has to do with skill. The best way to think about wisdom, the most reliable way, is to think about using the right tool for the job. I have a job. I know what needs to be done. There's actually two dimensions of wisdom. Wisdom is the goal. What is it that I need to accomplish? And then what's the best tool to get there?
Right.
Those are the two dimensions of wisdom. And so that's the best way to think about it. It's often used in terms of skill in warfare. We throughout the Bible, the wisdom is used in terms. So it's not just a tool. It's the right spear. It's the right knife. It's the right whatever weapon that you want to use. It's also used in regard to administration. So Tracy and Mike are the leaders of this class. They administer the class, and so we see wisdom being expressed in that way. So that's wisdom. So to know wisdom and instruction. And instruction is... It's a stern word in Proverbs. We kind of remember the saying, spare the rod and spoil the child. And sometimes we get all twitchy about that. Well, it's violence against children. Well, let's wait till we get there. We'll talk about that. But in the meantime, and the rod is for the back, it says in Proverbs. And so there is a sense of sternness about discipline. But we need that. We need that in our culture because we don't like discipline. We think discipline's a bad word in every facet of it. When we use the word discipline, I actually in my professional work, I serve on an ethics committee, and our job on that ethics committee is to receive complaints about members of the profession who have done something that somebody thinks is unethical, and it doesn't happen very often. But at the end of that process, it's an investigatory process, it's a proceeding. At the end of that process, we have what's called a disciplinary action. And that could be that there could be a fine, there could be a requirement of taking some training, it could be actually recommending somebody be removed from membership in the professional group, whatever. We don't like that. That's like, ooh, that's awful. On the other hand, as Tammy kind of reminded us, we go through life and people do say bad things. They do bad things all the time. And we get angry. So what do we want? Do we want discipline when it hurts us and thwarts us? You know, discipline is, it comes to mind in our thought life, or sometimes I like to say in our thwart life. When somebody thwarts me, I'm ready for discipline now. Now I got, you know, I understand it. So try to keep that in mind. We see discipline. But here's the thing. Think about learning a musical instrument. And you start out learning. By the way, how many have learned to play a musical instrument in this group? So a good majority of you, if you haven't learned to play a musical instrument, chances are you've given it a try. You've picked up a harmonica and it just made awful noise.
And I'm pretty good at hot cross buns.
Thank you, Dave. That was right on point. Thank you. Feel free at any time to just blurt out the first stupid thing that pops in your head. Not the second, not the third, the first. So, I don't even know where I was. I got to go back to Book of Proverbs here now for a second. But discipline and think about learning a musical instrument. When you start out, it's a pain. A lot of kids, when they quit right away, like the second, third week or 2 months in, it's like, I can't do this, you know. That's true of everybody learning a sport the same way. You learn a sport, and what do? They got drills. When I started out in martial arts, they have that called forms, and it's choreographed movements. And you start with step, punch, step, punch. You know, it's like an hour of step, punch. I mean, what is that getting you? Well, literally years later, when you're sparring, you know, the black belts are sparring and everything, you better have your step and your punching pretty down pretty well, because if not, you're going to get stepped on and punched. I mean, it's just... So we know that, and the thing about... That's okay, just leave it. It's okay, And so what happens, there's a pathway that you follow, and you have to learn the disciplines. You have to go through literally the pain. I mean, even in music, I remember first learning guitar and didn't have any calluses on my fingers to hold down the strings. And it hurt, and it's painful, but that's discipline. Here's the thing. Once somebody learns a musical instrument, or once somebody becomes adept at a sport, as long as they don't overdo it, and they become adept at a sport, it's a joy, it's a pleasure. And you listen to you know, especially jazz music. Jazz music, you know, good jazz music is, I don't know if there's any bad jazz music, but good jazz music is just a joy. It lifts your spirit. It's freeing. And you look at a jazz musician, and you listen, and you watch what they're doing, and it's just absolutely, it is. It's amazing. It's like, yeah! You know, and it's a joy. And they're actually just expressing what is in their spirit as they play that keyboard or as they play that ES-335 Gibson hollow, you know, body guitar. It's just a joy. So that's when we say discipline in the Book of Proverbs, that's the idea, is that discipline, there's going to be pain. The newer it is to us, the more of a novice we are at something, the more difficult it's going to be. Suck it up. It's going to be tough. It's going to be painful. But there's joy that comes out of it. So, and some of you have seen me do this this sort of, and this is kind of a picture of what we're doing in this course. It corresponds a little bit to the calibrating my steps. It's the sort of the little logo or whatever you call it for the course. But the idea is that when we study God's law, When we study God's law, we learn about the parameters that God lays out. God is a jealous God. God is a holy God. And there are things that just that cause wrath. That's called sin. And so as a blessing, God invites us, calls upon, commands us, gives us statutes, precepts. This is the way of the Lord. These are the commands. And when we've been going through Psalm 119 is an ode to God's commands. It's a form of worship. Psalm 119 is a form of praise and worship of God's law, because God blesses us with this. I mean, even something as simple as the Sabbath. You know, the Sabbath is such a blessing. I have an Orthodox Jewish friend who has taught me a lot about the joy of the Sabbath. It comes from God's law. But we want to follow God's law. It points us to Christ. And of course, the idea of salvation is the idea is I realize that you to become a follower of Christ, we say sometimes born again Christian, which is from the Gospel of John. Sometimes we say a believer. But when I've gone from being an unbeliever to a believer, what has happened is there has been some recognition that God's law is real, and I haven't followed God's law. And if you watch sometimes some on YouTube and that, and you see people sometimes witnessing on college campuses or out on busy streets or whatever, and they'll ask somebody about, you know, what do you think about sin and hell? And they go, oh no, I God's merciful, and you know, if God exists, God's merciful, and my God would never send anybody to hell. And I want to say that's probably true. But then the person interviewing say, well, if, you know, they basically, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever, you know, and they go through and, yeah, you know, I mean, well, then you violated God's law. You're going to hell. And it's like, wow, that's pretty tough. That's God's gift.
That's right.
Absolutely. So to become a follower of Christ, it's a real simple deal. We just realize God is holy and awesome and pure and has a law, and I haven't followed it. In fact, I haven't even followed it in the last 2 minutes or 10 seconds. I am not a follower of God's law. And so I'm in need of something, and that something is someone. I need someone to fix my problem, and that's Jesus Christ, and that's the whole gospel. That God, Jesus came to the earth, and he lived a perfect life. He followed God's law right up the middle, absolutely perfectly, better than any of us ever could or hope to do. Then not only that, he allowed himself to be to substitute himself for our sin and to take on our sin. And he conquered sin, he conquered death, he rose from the dead, and he reigns as king of the universe even now.
That's right.
And that's, amen, and that's the gospel, okay? So the gospel is realizing God's law is there, and I haven't cut it, so I need a Savior, and I trust and accept the work of Christ as my Savior, and I repent of my violation of God's law. Okay, now we've got that figured out. What's next? And what's next is putting one step, one foot in front of the other. How many decisions did you make today before you came here? Hundreds of decisions. How many of those were precisely in the middle of God's will? Not all of them. And so Proverbs, what Proverbs is in the world of in education speak, we call it assessment of learning. That's why this, I don't think I'm going to get to 3A here today. So it's okay. It's all right. I'll talk really fast next week. Assessment of learning is it's a loop. It's an iterative process. And so in a lot of times in higher education, we'll administer what we call a baseline quiz at the beginning of a course. And that's taking the temperature, seeing what somebody knows about that subject matter. And then as we go through the course and we give different quizzes and tests and assessments and so on and so on, at the end there's a final exam, and we want to compare the final exam. If the baseline was here, we hope that we haven't stayed the same. We hope that we've made some progress, okay? But all of those tests, and even the final again, that's called assessment of learning. Proverbs is an assessment of learning. Proverbs is that we can look at a verse like we did today in chapter 10 verse 8 and chapter 10 verse 12. We can look at a verse and we can say, how am I doing? Number one, how am I settle in on this concept, on this proverb? Number one, and number two, what's my prayer that emerges from this proverb? What can I be praying about that emerges from this proverb? And the proverb 12, I don't know if somebody still has it up or if you can read it again, because it's taking me a second to get there. Proverbs 10, was it 12?
Hatred stirs up conflict. Okay. Love covers all.
Hatred stirs up conflict. Love covers
all offenses.
All offenses. How am I doing with that? What's my prayer? You know, I need to pray, Lord, you know, where, number one, where is there bitterness or hatred in my heart? And even if I don't recognize it, where are there words that I'm speaking? Where is there gossip on my part? Where is there a lack of love and reaching out to others in compassion, Christ-like compassion on my part? Where I am not only maybe not stirring up hatred, but I'm letting hatred ride, giving it a free pass. You know, what is my prayer? You know, where is my love? And so that's the assessment of learning. I can use Proverbs as a way to look at the big things and the little things in my life. So the title up at the top of the lesson here is Wisdom is Not Proverbs, in the sense that you could memorize the whole book of Proverbs. Does that make you wise? You could fully understand, you could study everyone, you could work on the Hebrew and all of that, and you could write a book on Proverbs. It doesn't make you wise. So wisdom is not Proverbs, it's not even the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs are not wisdom, in that the Proverbs are almost like the words of a sentence. But the sentence is the speech, it's a person. Proverbs is personal. And so just because I think I'm okay on a given proverb doesn't mean I'm wise either.
Right.
So, and not all proverbs are about wisdom. Some proverbs are parables. So we don't want to over conflate or converge wisdom and proverbs. We want to think of wisdom as personal and proverbs as an assessment of learning. And when we do that, then we get back to the beginning verses, and we learn about learning and understanding and knowledge, and that's what we want to do. Is we want to get to the point where we're learning about the process of learning. So the almost the goal, if you were going to do a study, if you were going to have someone follow you through a day or an hour, or it doesn't matter how long, and keep track of all your decisions and all the things you say, and even if they understood your thoughts as you go, they would say, well, most of the things you do and say are within God's law. Okay? But you've leaked out a little bit here and there in your thought life and so on. And so, if you were going to do like how many were like too negative in this way, too positive in that way, and you know, and so on, you could almost do a bell curve. And so, if you did a bell curve of all your actions, you'd like your bell curve to be really narrow, and that very few thoughts, decisions, words fell outside of God's law. Sometimes my bell curve kind of goes like this, and I got way too much stuff going on out here. So the book of Proverbs, though, it focuses in on what's going. Okay, we know about that. We got to keep in God's word. We got to get a better handle of God's law and how that speaks to me and my heart and my day and every decision I make. Which is why we talk about in the chapter 10, verse 8, is wise in their own heart. Wisdom has to rest in my heart. It has to be. You know, Jesus said, out of the mouth comes every evil thing. Well, we want the heart to be as Christ-like as our heart can be, and that'll get reflected in our words and our actions. And so the idea of Proverbs is to focus in what's going on within God's law. And if we do that, we're going to discover that there are some things that are outside of God's law. So it's an assessment of learning. It's a way of gauging how I'm doing. And if you look at Proverbs that way, then it'll make a whole lot more sense when we get a little further into chapter 1. We talk about, you know, the lessons that are given to the son. And God's wisdom being imparted to the Son, and even God's wisdom being personified. Any questions, comments, anything? I think we're good on time. It may take me 3 weeks on this lesson, but I'll try to make some progress next week on the actual lesson. Let me just close in prayer, and then Mike will come up with some announcements. Father God in heaven, thank you for your law, your precepts, your statutes, your words, your commands. Thank you for revealing to us who you are in your holiness, Lord, and in your all-knowing omniscience, Lord. Thank you for giving that to us in your word. Thank you also, Lord, for blessing us with helping us through just even our walk through the day. And I just ask, Lord, that as we delve even deeper into this book, Proverbs, Lord, that you will allow us to have a heart that is yours, that we are wise in heart and not in our own eyes. And that is our prayer for today. It's our prayer for this series. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.